Focus for our sermon today comes from page 6 in your service fold, Ephesians 4, the end of that chapter and the beginning of chapter 5. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you can think of a time when you were younger, grade school, more likely probably high school, and you ended up doing something not so smart, and your parents ask you, why would you do that? And your answer, well, my friends were all doing it. I couldn't do something different than they were doing. It just was the thing that everyone was doing. I couldn't stand out. That's something we'd always say. And then, as the picture talks about, probably the next thing here, what they might say is, if all your friends walked off a cliff, would you do the same thing? You heard that one before, right? We tend to do that, right? We tend to follow the crowd, especially when we're younger, fit in with our friends. We don't want to stand out. But that really isn't something we really grow out of, is it? We tend to want to fit in with the crowd and to not really stand out. But as God talks to us today, he wants us to walk in the way of love. And I think what we're going to see is that means we're going to stand out in different ways. It's not easy, and especially that we want to see how this relates to when we've been wronged. When someone hurts us and we want to get back at them. Because it's so easy to just follow along with what everyone else does. But what Paul writes in Ephesians, he's writing to a church, and he's really, in these chapters, explaining a lot of what it's like to be a Christian living. He talks about families and marriage and children and parents. And here he's talking about just how we are to be with one another. And he says, starting out with this, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. When you read unwholesome talk, when you look at our world today and TV, movies, what I'd say is unwholesome talk is just part of being in the crowd, isn't it? Most TV shows you throw on YouTube and there's just not a lot of clean shows anymore, right? Just the words that come out. And so here, God is encouraging us to don't march with the crowd, just as the talked about, don't march off the cliff just as everyone else is doing, but don't do what everyone else is doing. And here, don't be filled with unwholesome talk. But seek to build each other up. Don't tear others down, but seek what is beneficial for others. And as we go on with what we read, I think especially we see where this is important. When he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. I think that unwholesome talk and that bitterness, anger, and rage, where does that come from, right? When we're angry when someone has hurt us, when we want to see them get justice, see their name come down, and to have others know what they did to us? Or for others who think, oh, that person's a good person, well, they did this to me. Or if they didn't do it to me, they did this horrible thing to someone else. And so we have this unwholesome talk, this bitterness, anger, and rage when we feel wronged. But what is God telling us? To flee from it. To run from retaliation. To run from the idea that I have to be the one to get back at someone. But that's just what we do, right? So what the crowd does, what everyone says, well, if you just let them get away with it, that's not right. You should get back at them. But we know that's not what God wants us to do. That's not what it means to live as a Christian and to live, as what it says here, to live in God's love and forgiveness. God wants us to dwell in Christ's love and forgiveness. He says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God wants us to know of that kindness and love that God has given to you. That when we can live in that, to know that, well, I don't deserve anything from God. God sent Jesus to die for me because I've fallen short. Jesus needed to come and to live on this earth to be our perfect substitute. Because even though that person has hurt me, I'm no better than they are. We all fall short. But Christ came to be perfect for you. He was mocked. He was beaten. People hated him. They made fun of his teachings, even though he was showing love and compassion. And then finally, when he's crucified, what does he do on the cross? He looks down on those who are nailing him to the cross and mocking him, hurling insults. You could save others. Right? If you're the Christ, save yourself. They mocked him. What does he do? It says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Christ loved them and loves you so much. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were separated from God because of our sins, yet he came and died for you. He had you in mind as he was there dying for you. And if you think about being betrayed, friends turning their back on you, right? God had that happen. Jesus had that happen to him as his friends betrayed him. Judas gave him over to the authorities to be arrested and killed. And yet Christ forgives and shows that love. How important is it for us to see and to live and dwell in that love and forgiveness? And so, what does that do for us when we're in that love and forgiveness? Well, I think it causes us to look a little bit different. In the first lesson with Joseph, the brothers were not expecting him to do what he did, right? The natural thing was for him to still hold a grudge. They sold him into slavery. But he did something radically different. Jesus was radically different. He taught, he did miracles, he showed that love of Christ, and he said he wants us to live differently as well. I have a little clip. It's about 2 minutes long, but you might recognize this. It's one of the more famous sketches from history, but as we talk about walking as a Christian, I want to show this sketch to show you a little bit of maybe what it's going to look like for us to walk as a Christian in this world. We'll see if this works.
Time, please. No, sir, here we are. Sorry to have kept you waiting, but I'm afraid my walk has become rather sillier recently, and so it takes me rather long. Now then, what was it again?
Well, sir, I have a silly walk, and I'd like to obtain a government grant to help me develop it.
I see. May I see your silly walk?
Yes, certainly, yes.
That's it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not particularly silly, is it?
All right, so, as I said, it's a little silly, but when God asks us to walk as a Christian, what is it going to look like to the rest of the world? When he says to be kind and compassionate, forgiving each other as Christ has forgiven us. I think he's saying we're going to stand out in our love and forgiveness. That the man with the silly walk, he stood out, didn't he? And then the sign there said, the ministry of silly walks. Like, there are other people that had silly walks like him. The truth is that as Christians, some of the things that we do should look silly to the rest of the world. For Joseph, his forgiveness to his brothers, they couldn't understand it. They had to make up a lie to say, your father gave us these instructions to say, well, we know you forgave us, but make sure you forgive us again. And he weeps. He says, of course I'll forgive you. God had a good plan. And then he even says this crazy thing, I'll take care of you and your children. And so we're to forgive because God has forgiven all of our sins. If God has forgiven my debt, who am I to withhold that forgiveness to someone else? And the truth is, when a Christian forgives, it's not that we forgive and forget, right? It's not saying, well, I don't remember at all what you did, because in Christian forgiveness, I can forgive someone, but if someone has hurt me, I don't have to have the same relationship I had before, right? If they've shown themselves to not be trustworthy, I don't have to trust them in the same way that I did before. And if someone has really, really hurt me, I can forgive them, but I don't really have to have much of a relationship with them anymore. But I can forgive them and not hold that anger, that malice in my heart. I can say, God forgives you, I forgive you, but also, if they're not repentant, what's their relationship between God? I don't know, but that's not up to me. But then in the clip, did you see the second guy who was in the room? He started trying to do a silly walk and he just, right? It wasn't very silly. I think that's what it's like for Christians when we refuse to forgive others. When we hold grudges against others, we're not standing out from the rest of the world. It's like we're trying to walk like a Christian, but we begin to blend in with the rest of the world. The rest of the world says, hold on to that anger. They don't deserve that love and forgiveness. They haven't showed that they're sorry. They haven't even maybe even asked for forgiveness. But for Christians, Christ has forgiven us all our sins. And even if someone has not come and said, I'm sorry for what I did, us as Christians, we can say in our hearts, I forgive you. And we can pray for an opportunity that we can have reconciliation, that maybe they do see their sin, and I can speak those words of forgiveness. And even if someone doesn't say they're sorry, I can still say, I forgive you. Not because of how good I am, but because of what Christ has done for me. Just like the king and the servant, he forgave my debt that I could never repay. As Peter talks about, you know, should I forgive 7 times? And Jesus says 77 or 7 times 70. That's how many times that we sin against God every day. And yet God forgives us. And so we get this opportunity to stand out, to do things that to the rest of the world honestly looks pretty silly. But in knowing Christ and his love for us, we know it's the right thing and the good thing. And the thing that knowing Christ has forgiven us, the thing that we get to do. Forgiveness is not a must or a have to, it's a joy. Because Christ has forgiven me, I can share that joy with others. And in the prayer that they too can know that they can live in that forgiveness day in and day out. No matter what they have done, that God loves them. That Christ came for them and has forgiven them. And so we forgive just as Christ forgave, so that all may see that Christ gave himself up for them. What a joy it is to walk in the way of love and to share that forgiveness. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.